Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase the Gang is all here on this Tuesday. And we're at Patron Platinum Club. Predators in Colorado Avalanche tonight here at Bridgestone Arena. 7 o'clock puck drop. We just heard the voice for tonight's game here on these airwaves, Max Herz. He just stopped by. Yes, it's been put out there, Max and Hal. Max, of course, filling in for Pete Weber, who tested positive, and so Pete continued to be well, and we will see you soon. I'll have pregame for you at 6 o'clock, and these game day broadcasts are brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths. Go to their website. GoHermitage.com. We say hello to a familiar name, voice, and face, even though we can't see him. D-Mace, 3D Hall of Famer.
We are now broadcasting in 3D.
And we are broadcasting in 3D. Everything is about
3D. 3D and a C.
3Ds and a C.
In Tennessee.
Derek, Happy New Year.
Sounds like a good
How
night.
How you doing?
Hey, Happy New Year, fellas. I am doing wonderful. Just got finished working a few guys out that are potential prospects for the NFL draft. So I just got finished doing that, and now I'm headed home. So,
Are these local guys?
No, these are not local guys. These are guys that I just started working with. It was last week we started working, these are some good guys. So, a guy from UTC, a guy from Virginia State, and what's the other guy from? I can't remember at this particular moment, but three guys that are working extremely hard to, make their dreams come true, and I'm here to help them. So,
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. You could
search Mason.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So it's Southeast Missouri. That's what it is.
Southeast Missouri. Okay. Missouri.
Yeah.
Very nice.
SEMO.
SEMO. A little SEMO action. You got to love that.
Exactly.
I want to get your thoughts real quick because a guy that we saw come through here a couple of weeks ago on Thursday night and – a guy that, just continued to do the same thing. I just want to get your thoughts on what he's doing for San Francisco. What do you make of Deebo Samuel? It's like wherever they put him, man, the guy is a freaking stud.
He reminds me of, Randall L. From Pittsburgh. Faster Hines Ward. A guy that, you could put him in any position. You could put him at running back. If he needs to throw the ball, you can throw the ball. You can put him out wide. You can put him inside. He's just a jack of all trades, and he's good at everything that he does. If you have a guy like that on your team, that's a plus because he becomes a mismatch wherever you place him on the field. So San Francisco has them a really good player. They just need to get them a really good quarterback to complement that really good player of theirs, Deebo Samuel.
Well, they tried to do that in the draft. We'll see if it works out. They did trade up for Trey Lance, so we'll see if he ends up being the guy that you're talking about. So do you like the spot the Titans are in? Do you like the one seed? Do you like sitting and waiting and watching and waiting for the divisional round and seeing who your next opponent's going to be?
He did in 2008, but we won't go there.
It's great because everybody gets rested. Everybody gets healed up. Hopefully, it'll be another week of Derrick Henry getting closer to return. I know he's been practicing, but, practicing and playing is two different things. So it gives him an extra, week or two to get himself ready to go. But each time the Titans been in a position, whether it was, in 2000 or well, had been that week off, playoffs. But this is a new Titan team. The ball is different from what it was then. The rules are different. Guys treat their body a little bit different than what they did before. So this might not be a disadvantage to the Titans. Actually, I think it's more so of an advantage because, again, they get guys rested and back that they need back for this playoff run.
I know in our conversations over the years, I kind of feel like, unless I'm just making this up, but I don't believe I am, you used to talk about you can't just flip the proverbial light switch and everything changes, you know, once you get to the playoffs. Like, I'm pretty sure you weren't a big believer in that. So with that being said, Julio Jones has been a massive disappointment this year for what they traded, what they gave up to get him, what they're paying him. He's been out more than he's been in. He just really hasn't been much of a factor. But there was a sign of life on Sunday in Houston with his five catches and his first touchdown of the season. With that being said, do you actually believe, though, this is now a guy, if he's available for the playoffs and upright and healthy, that can actually help him? Do you think that he can flip the switch and in the most important time of year actually help this team make a run?
I'm not going to say he can't. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you know, Julio just can't, you know, during the playoffs, can't turn it on. I'm not going to say that because, to me, you know, this guy was, you know, he was the top receiver in the NFL for a 6-7 year span. And injuries have caused him to, you know, cause his decline somewhat. But I'm never going to sit here and say, well, you know, he's not going to be able to turn it on for the playoffs because he only needs to turn it on for two games so they can get in the Super Bowl. And turning it on could be, you know, another five-catch game for 60 yards and a touchdown. That's all they need from him, really. That's all they need from Julio Jones is five catches, 60, 70 yards, and a touchdown. That's all they need because they have Brown out there. They have Westbrook, who has really come on. Westbrook Akina, he's really come on. You know, Foreman has been running like a beast. So they don't need him to go out there and give 10 catches for 120 yards and two touchdowns. That's not the Julio we're going to see. If he can give you five catches, 60 yards and a touchdown, that will get the Titans over the hump. That's a bit. You know, I'm not going to can't do it. But, you know, it's hard during playoffs. I'm just a firm believer. You had to be playing good football going into the playoffs in order for me to exceed in the playoffs. So, you know, hopefully he can do that. And last week was a good sign of him, you know, being a productive teammate for the Titans this season.
Talking to Derek Mason. Derek, you know, one of your greatest attributes was your availability. You were able to get through and play through whatever was ailing you. You were out on the field and you were able to be productive. It seems like there's just only been that one issue for Julio Jones this whole year. He's got the same thing that keeps acting up, the hamstring. He just hasn't been able to get it right. Hopefully another week of rest, maybe it'll be the best it's been all year. That's what you have to hope for. Did you ever go through anything that you experienced that just nagged you for that kind of a period of time that forced you to get out of a rhythm?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
We got you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Willie, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear the last part of it.
Sorry. Yeah. Did you ever go through anything similar? I know the hamstring is a real tricky one, but you know, you look at your stats, you rarely, if ever, missed a game, or let alone a practice. But, you know, I would have to imagine that's got to be frustrating for any player if you got something that's just nagging you like that, you can't shake it.
Well, fortunately for me, and again, I was just completely blessed. I truly was because I don't, you know, everybody has those aches and pains and bumps and bruises during the season. But some guys' bodies, you know, recover fairly quickly. And mine, I recovered fairly quickly from any bumps and bruises that I had. And if I did, I just played through it, man. It was just a different era of football. And not to say that these guys are not tough. They are. But it was just a different, you know, mindset for guys back then. You know, if you can go out there and be productive for your team, then you did it no matter what. But I never had any situation where it was just a nagging hamstring or, you know, something like that. If I was hurt, it was because, you know, I broke a scapula or, you know, I twisted my ankle. I had a high ankle sprain, and it just took time to heal. But I never had a situation where it was just off and on, off and on, and off and on. You know, one thing they knew about me is they could rely on me. They knew I was there every week. And, you know, and that's just been a problem for Julio. He just hadn't been there every week. And I think that has a lot to do with, obviously, his production in this Tennessee Titans offense. So, again, hopefully, you know, the injury stuff is past him. The hamstrings are past him, at least for the next, you know, month, while they are in the playoffs and making this run in the Super Bowl.
We know that if you look year in and year out, the teams that win it, they peak at the right time. They play their best football at this time of the year, and it's so hard to predict. Sometimes you can be in a great groove in the middle of the season, and then for whatever reason, it doesn't happen in the postseason. You've seen it all at different things. What do you think, if you could put your finger on something that has a team playing at their best at the end of the season when you want everything to come together? Does anything come together from 99 or, you know, you mentioned, Chase has already mentioned 08 when you guys upset the Titans. You guys had a nice run there. Of course, your mug was on the TV screen, Derek. I don't know if you saw it. Titans fans had to cringe. You know, they showed the Ravens beating the Titans twice. On the second one, sure enough, it's D-Mace catching a pass close up with the eye of the tiger on his face there on my TV screen. I was like, yeah, that, I know Titans fans, I'm sure, love seeing that. But what about peaking at the right time, D-Mace?
I think it has everything to do with, availability. If guys are available, then if you're key guys at least, then everyone's in a rhythm. Everyone is on the same page. Communication is there. When teams start to, you know, struggle, a lot of it has to do with, you know, either, you know, fatigue or guys being injured. And, you know, when the Titans struggled this year, and it wasn't a lot of times that they struggled, but when they struggled, it was because they didn't have guys that they counted on. You know, guys would start the game and end up leaving it before halftime or leaving, you know, right after halftime. You can't build a consistent winning football team. And hats off to Vrabel. He's done a good job, a really good job in that coaching staff at, you know, piecing guys together and making sure everybody's on the same page when those guys that are injured are not out there on the field. But I think, you know, in order to sustain good football up until the playoffs and during the playoffs, I think you have to have guys available. So it's good to have, you know, AJ back and Julio back, and hopefully these guys are at full strength. And then hopefully, you know, Derrick Henry comes back and he's ready to go at full strength. So when you have your key guys on the field, then the likelihood of you making that run goes up tremendously, especially a team like the Titans, because, you know, the Titans don't have too many weaknesses on their team. And when everyone's fully healthy, I mean, it's very hard to beat that team.
We're talking to Derek Mason, 3D Hall of Famer and a longtime NFL wide receiver. So you played against Mike Vrabel. You know where he came from. You played against those New England teams and how difficult they were to play against. But you're obviously seeing some of that with this team, and now he's being mentioned for Coach of the Year and should win Coach of the Year. So when you look at that coaching job that he's done this year with 91 players, you know, how much of the teachings that he had in New England playing for Bill Belichick have contributed to what they've done this year?
Well, let's not forget that he played for Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, and Bill Cowher
had a pretty damn good team, too, and they had a Hall of Fame coach as well. So let's not just say, you know, New England. Well, he spent some time in Pittsburgh and he spent some time in Kansas City. Three really good organizations that he was able to learn, not just as a player, but ultimately as a coach. So I think he's taken a bit of, you know, every place that he's been and incorporated in into his coaching style and what he's able to do. But I think Vrabel's doing an excellent job this year. I mean, there's not many things that you can point at and say that he's done wrong, if any. He's done a great job at, like I said, piecing this team together when guys like AJ is out, Julio is out, Derrick Henry is out, Taylor Lewan in and out, the offensive line, you know, guys are missing other than Taylor Lewan, just guys in and out of the game. He and that coaching staff has done an excellent job at making sure those guys behind the starters are ready. They didn't get ready. They were ready to play when they were called upon. And that is a true testament of a good coach and a coaching staff, is that when your key guys go down and your second guys, you know, behind the key guys go down and that third guy has to come in and you really don't take a step back and you continue to win football games, that's the sign of a good coaching staff. So I take my hat off, not just to Vrabel, but to that whole coaching staff, to that defensive coaching staff. Because this is a defense that we looked at and said, man, this defense is going to struggle this year. And look where they're at now. They're one of the better defenses in the National Football League, especially getting to the passer.
So let me ask you this. That play in Houston where Tannehill works his way out of the sack to throw the pass, did you see that 17 morph into a 9 for a second like I did? Because it reminded me of that play in the Super Bowl.
I'm not going to disrespect Steve like that, dude. No. No. Tannehill is Tannehill. He's a really good quarterback. He's a mobile quarterback, even though he doesn't run a lot. But when he has to run or has to get outside the pocket or have to, you know, elude defenders, he's capable of doing it. So this isn't something that I have not seen him do before. This is just me. I've heard plenty of people say, you know, yeah, Steve was looking at that. No. Steve is Steve. 9 is 9. No one morphs into 9, okay? That's just the way, at least in my book. So.
Fair enough. Fair enough, D-Mace. when you look at the wild card round this weekend, which team do you think has the best chance of an upset? Whether it's the Patriots or the Raiders against the Bengals, the Steelers against the Chiefs, any upset stand out to you in the AFC?
Man, would you consider, that Raider Bengal game, whoever wins, did you consider that an upset? I don't really.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty evenly matched.
Evenly matched, yeah. Pittsburgh is the team that I would pay close attention to. I really would. Because anytime Mike Tomlin is on a sideline, a Mike Tomlin coached team, they're always in the game. And as long as Ben Roethlisberger is underneath center, they're always in the game. There was no way they should have won that game last week versus the Baltimore Ravens. They just shouldn't. I mean, Ravens, even though they had guys out, they were still a better team. But when Ben's underneath center and Tomlin's on the sideline, you never know what can happen. So if I'm picking an upset, I would pick Pittsburgh over Kansas City. The likelihood of that happening is very slim, but it could happen. So that would be my upset pick of the week. It would be Pittsburgh over Kansas City.
D-Mace, good stuff as always. I really appreciate you putting the pedal to the metal and getting on a little bit, getting out of that bad cell, kind of like when we were going to Birmingham. You got out of that cell in a hurry, so we really appreciate it.
Listen, I just told that story the other day. I said that story will be told 20 years from now. That story lives on forever in infinity. That's a story that will always be told. And it will be embellished. People will add stuff to it, you know, but it will be told forever.
I don't know if it's really embellished because, I get the first phone call from Darren of, we have messed up. Derek and I were just talking. He picked me up from the house. We are headed to Chattanooga. And I'm like, Darren, that's the wrong way. Oh, boy. Like, okay, all right, we'll figure it out. And I'm saying something to Jared, like, hey, you may have to start the show. They screwed up. And then 45 minutes later, I get another phone call of, hey, I think we're going to be good, but I can hear the nervousness in Darren's voice. Like, I mean, think we're
going
to make it.
We're going 140, but I mean, I think we're going to make it. I've got the pee stain in my pants to prove it. I saved those pants. So the story is true. I've got the pants to prove it.
Hey, I told you I would get us there safely and on time.
You
and
did.
With an hour to spare, he had time to eat.
Well, I was
going to
say,
we only
got there on time, we had time to sit down and eat
because
beforehand.
Because he got out of the car and threw up his breakfast, so he had to eat.
And I had to repair the finger holes in his dashboard that I was plucked into on the right way there from the white knuckles. Derek, thanks so much, as always. It's going to be fun to watch all this play out. And you know what? Let's chat soon.
Let's do that.
Oh, let's do that. I would love to.
All right. That is 3D Hall of Famer, Derek Mason. Good stuff from him. And that was a great story, by the way, and a true story. Me and him are just sitting there just chatting away, just talk, going to SEC Media Days. And all of a sudden, I look, it's one of those, okay, sorry for the reference, old movie reference. Just because I just saw it recently, it just happened to be on and I stopped. Sorry. Overboard?
Yeah.
Remember when he wakes up and he goes, why are the mountains on this side?
Yeah.
What are we doing? I'm calling the captain, right? So sorry, but that, and so I just literally stopped in my tracks. We're just talk, 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 and I was like, oh my
gosh,
down
24.
We're going to Chattanooga. We're almost to Chattanooga. We have made a huge mistake. And I will say, D-Mace, now you know why he had a Hall of Fame career. I'm freaking out. Derek's like, don't worry about it. I'll get you there. We're good. We'll get there. I'm fine. We're going to make it. And I'm like, there's no way. And I'm like, I can't dial Chase's number fast enough. We're never going to be on time. Oh, my gosh, we've screwed up. We're never going to be there on time.
I just remember Jared looking at me. He's on the air. He sees you guys walk in, and he goes,
like, what are you
he's
talking
like, how'd
about?
They get here?
Like, what are you talking
he
about,
He takes
Chase?
The headset off, and he's like, how did they get here? And I go, well, Derek drove 150.
It's only 100. It's like 104.
Like the Beamer
the
smoking.
7 Series Beamer was going. It had to have been 130, 140.
The tires were completely melted. I mean, it was.
And by the way, I wasn't talking anymore. I was like quiet.
No.
It was kind of like our flight from Dallas to Kansas City. I just got pretty quiet. I got quiet when I'm uncomfortable. All right, we'll come back. We'll continue this discussion on the other side. Boy, what did you make of him? The Pittsburgh comments. That kind of goes against what we were talking about earlier.
That's interesting
in the show.
For him.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. More on the other side as you listen. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, $100 and get $50 to the Woodhouse Spa in Nashville. Save 75% off Nashville Armory, the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, and Seafood Sensation. And get $50 free with a $100 purchase in downtown dollars. Remember, just go to thegamenashville.com/deals for Nashville's best deals. Back here on the DDC, the gang is all here. We're here live at the Patron Platinum Club. Predators and Avs tonight, 7 o'clock here at Bridgestone Arena, pregame at 6. Good stuff there from Derek Mason.
Yeah, it was. Good to talk to him again and have him on, the 3D Hall of Famer for sure. But I thought his comments on Pittsburgh were interesting because I know that we've had some texters, some fans that are like, hey, don't sleep on Pittsburgh, and they got in and all that. But to hear him say it, that he's seen that kind of thing before, that it, sees a team that's hungry, I think that could be dangerous.
What is the line on that game? I have to think the
17.5.
Is it that big?
No, it's like 2 touchdowns.
Is it? I mean, well, I want to know what it is, because I mean, it was a mismatch the first time they played. It was,
I think the last time I looked, it was 13.5.
And so it'll be a different story in the playoffs, I would think. But maybe not. I want to know how they would go about doing it. I just don't see that the Steelers, unless the Chiefs just don't have the mojo. I mean, I hope Derek is right, because that would do everybody else a favor in the AFC. That's the team that I would think is still going to be considered the favorite to come out of the AFC, don't we think? Even though the Titans are the number one seed,
sure,
I think everybody still will talk about the Chiefs.
Of course.
Because they have been there, done that team.
Yep. It's gone down to 12.5, so it's actually going down.
Pretty sizable.
Yeah, for a playoff game, yeah.
So who do you guys think is the most dangerous team on the side of the bracket? You know, there's only a certain amount of teams that the Titans could play in the first game. It's the Bengals, the Raiders, the Steelers, and the Patriots, right? Those are the four teams that they could possibly play. Who's the most dangerous of those four?
You're leaving out Kansas City?
I'm talking about who the Titans could play in their first game.
In the division.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for listening.
Play. Yeah. I'm multitasking.
Listening skills. You're multitasking, yes.
So I'm also looking at my balance from last night's national championship game. It looks good. Gosh, it looks good. Sorry. Got mesmerized by that.
Do that after 2 o'clock. Do that at 2 o'clock. It's good. Off the clock. You know, once your job's done. Between
Coach
between
Willie.
Jobs.
I know, he's
you know?
Feisty today.
Coach Willie, do your job.
I don't need your sass today.
Hey, I'm a little bitter because I picked Alabama, okay?
I'm in Coach a good mood. I don't need your sass today.
Coach Willichek coming in here. Do your job.
Look, gosh, you think somebody brought up Jim Schwartz to you. Jeez.
Coach Willichek's on to Cincinnati.
He is on to Cincinnati.
Robbie, next question.
I'll tell you what. I don't dislike any of the four matchups. I think all four matchups, if I'm the Titans, I kind of like. If it's the Patriots, I like that, you know, the Titans went up there at their worst, their low point of the season. They were on fumes. They had none of their weapons. We had a big discussion the day after of everybody that was missing. They had all kinds of issues, and they were just tired. And they still battled the Patriots while the Patriots were playing their best football of the year. And now you would have them coming to Nashville. I would invite that matchup. The Bengals, I think, are probably the answer. Who's the most dangerous? Just because I can see where Joe Burrow slings it all over the field and rolls up big numbers. So my answer would probably be the Bengals, and they're the highest seed, so that makes sense. But I still like the matchup if I'm the Titans. The Raiders, I think, the Raiders and the Steelers, for that matter, I think have overachieved just to get into the playoffs. I think they've done a great job. They've been playing on a razor's edge. Everything has had to go right for them to get in, and they're in. But we talked about it yesterday. They've been two teams that have been badly outscored over the course of 17 games. They are just past the mediocre mark, I think, in what they bring to the table. So that, to me, that's what you get more than anything else when you are the number one seed. And you reseed after the first round, you get the weakest team that's left over. So it's not just the rest and the bye, but you also get the weakest team left over. I think that is something that if you look at some years, and that's what's been tough about the Titans. The two times that they have been the one seed, they've had to play some really good Ravens teams. You know, that right. Ravens team in 2000 was a heck of a team. That was a heck of a team, and somehow the Titans, as the one seed, had to play them in their first playoff game. And the 08 Ravens, I don't think were quite as good, but that was a good team.
But when you say that, though, I mean they did have to do everything on the road. I mean they came here, they had to go to Oakland, so it's not like in the regular season they were. I mean they got hot at the right time, and they had a great defense. We know that, but remember they had to do it minus the first game at home against Denver. They had to do the whole run and the Super Bowl. They had to do it all on the road. So they weren't that great in the regular season.
The 2000 Ravens were a great – that was one of the statistically the best defense. The Ravens and the Titans had two of the best defenses the league has seen in a long time. Now, they had a very limited offense, as we know, but that was – okay, let's put it this way. Are any of these four teams we're talking about this year's version – of the Raiders, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Patriots, are any of those four teams as good as either one of those Ravens teams that the Titans face? I would say it's not close. I'd say those two Ravens teams, give me those teams 10 times out of 10 over any of these four teams. That's my opinion. You guys agree or disagree?
And here's the thing on the Ravens team in 2000. They went 12-4.
Yes, I mean, that was a powerful team. They were only a
while. Did they get 12 wins? Titans I didn't think so they had 12.
Yes.
I thought they had
they were really good.
All right.
And what was the 08 Ravens record?
2008.
The Titans were 13-3.
Baltimore Ravens would have been.
They won at least 10, I would say. They didn't win the division.
11-5.
So both record wise alone.
Both of those teams finished
record than anybody that's in there.
Because did Pittsburgh win the division in 2000?
In 2000?
No, that's when
the Ravens were in the Titans division.
That's right.
The Ravens were in the Titans division in 2000.
That's right. I forgot. They hadn't reclassified yet.
And the Ravens the Ravens whipped the Titans in 2000. I shouldn't say they whipped them. But they did beat them in Nashville. I think it was by 1 point. I think it was the Titans missed an extra point. But they already had the confidence of knowing that they could beat the Titans.
I think the answer to your question is, I mean, realistically, one, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. But if you're looking truthfully, the answer should be none of the above. I mean, it should be. It doesn't mean that they can't lose. But those teams that you named should not strike fear into the one seed at home.
But the Ravens back in those times did.
No, I know, but I'm talking about now. I'm talking about now that you're getting Derrick Henry back, now that you've got A.J. Brown upright, and you've got Julio Jones up, and you've got these guys upright, healthy. If all that had been coming apart at the seams at the very end, and it was like all those guys were in question like it was earlier in the year, that's one thing. But they're doing just the opposite. They've gone through all the bad stuff, and it looks like they're actually getting healthier later in the season. And come 2 weeks from now, they should have most of their roster that they depend on available.
Right.
They should be upright and available.
That's the point I'm making, is that I think the Titans are poised to be at full strength. But their first-round opponent, now I'm not saying what it would be in the championship game, but first things first, you got to win that first game. They've lost as the number one seed in the divisional when they've been in this position twice. But both times it was to very, very good Ravens teams that were wild cards in name only. Those were really, really good teams. I don't classify any of the four potential opponents as in that class. It doesn't mean they're just going to walk into the championship game. But I think it's a more favorable matchup.
Here's how I'll answer your question. With the Raiders and Bengals, I would say that, you know, even though you look at how the Raiders got in, you could probably play that as a toss-up. Maybe give the edge to Cincinnati because they're at home, and I think the way Burrow's played.
I give Cincinnati the edge.
You give Cincinnati the edge.
Yeah, I do.
But
I think so too.
If the Raiders end up winning that game, I'm not going to be completely shocked. If the Patriots beat the Bills, I'm not going to be completely shocked. Because I think that the Patriots match up well. They obviously know each other being in the division. The one, and I base some of this on what Derek said, if somehow Pittsburgh goes into Arrowhead and they win that game, that's a team that you go, they got nothing to lose. Their quarterback's going to retire. They're going for it. They're playing with reckless abandon. And a lot of times those teams are scary. Those teams are dangerous. Now, you should beat them. You should stop that train in its tracks. But I think Mike Vrabel would be telling his team, hey, I've been on the other end of this. I was on a team that was undefeated and lost to a Giants team that limped into the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. I think that's where the true coaching comes into play, because those teams, they are dangerous because they got nothing to lose.
Well, but then you're asking them to do it again the next week. Like, I don't think you should be fearful of that. Like, you should root for that.
Right.
Because that's a huge upset, and you should root for that. But now you're asking that team that nobody truly believes is that great of a team to then turn around and do it again. That's a pretty large mountain to climb for a team that, quite honestly, while I picked them to be in the playoffs, and it looked like it was going to be a bad pick all year, but actually came through for me. I don't believe they're a very good team. They're a very limited team. They've obviously got a spectacular player on defense in T.J. Watt. They have got other really good players, but sure. T.J. Watt has had an MVP type season. Najee Harris is a really good running back,
emerging young
with a bad offensive line, and Roethlisberger's limited. Yeah. He just is. He's limited. I mean, let's just call it what it is. He's going to end up in Canton, but he's at this point in his career, he's extremely limited. So if that were to happen, what you said, fine, great, you beat the Chiefs. But now you're asking him to do it again, and now you're asking, you think the Titans are going to lose to that team twice in a season? I'll take my chances.
Well, you can make the argument, and granted, the Titans team from 2 years ago was better than this Pittsburgh team, but people were asking the Titans to do it again. They're going to New England, and they end the dynasty. Brady's last game as a Patriot, they win that. And then they go on the road to Baltimore, beat the best team in the league that people viewed them that way. And then Kansas City is when they couldn't do it again. So
remember in pick six, I took Pittsburgh. You guys did. I took Pittsburgh in that game. I won't be taking them in this game. If that were to happen, I would not take them
right
in this game. No chance.
Well, Chase, you got a good point. There are a lot of examples in NFL history where a team gets hot that doesn't look like a great team on the surface, and then all of a sudden they're a different team in the playoffs. But I just think that the Titans have set themselves up. I just think no matter who of the four teams emerges to come here, they won't be as good of an all-around football team as the two Ravens teams that beat the Titans in 08 and 2000. And those two games were kind of fluky. The Titans didn't get the job done, bottom line. But there's some crazy things that happened in those games to get them beat. But I think it's a great position to be in, not only because of the rest, but this year. And I wonder, too, okay, let's go to the other side of the coin. I think Darren is saying that his answer to this would be Pittsburgh. But who is the most favorable matchup of the four? Is it Pittsburgh, or would you go more the Raiders?
Pittsburgh.
It's probably one of the two.
I would take Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, you think, is the weakest of the four
teams? Just because
you've
lost to them already once this year. I think that helps.
I think
you've already played them.
He's in New England.
Well, no, but he's asking between the Steelers or the Raiders.
Yeah. Pittsburgh.
The other part of that equation is if that happens, if it's either the Steelers or the Patriots, two teams that have beaten the Titans, that will have meant that two of the other top teams, one of them will be out. You know, ultimately, you got to get through Kansas City or Buffalo, or who are probably the next two highest seeds, but Pittsburgh or New England could take care of one of them for you. That would be huge.
Yep. Willie, tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
I can do that. QC Kinetics is, and you hear the commercials all the time at our station, they want to let you know that they've got something that you might want to look into if you have had some joint pain issues that have been nagging and they have kept you from being as mobile and as active as you want to be so far in 2022. So 2022 is just getting started. If you want that to be a better year from you in terms of mobility and no joint pain, QC Kinetics has something for you to offer. So you need to get this free second opinion by dialing them up at 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. What is QC Kinetics? It's non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. We're talking lasting results using natural biologics, no surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, and no downtime. It's something you need to look into if you've been told that maybe surgery is the only route. So give them a call, 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics, and let them tell you about how they can treat you. They can have this treatment actually encourage your body to heal itself with these concentrated natural biologics. So if you get that knee pain, that hip pain, ankle pain, shoulders, and you just can't shake it, think about getting more active in 2022 without pain through QC Kinetics. 615-249-4024.
I think Mike Tomlin is a man of integrity, but I'm calling BS. I'm hitting the BS button. I was reading on Twitter during the break. Mike Tomlin today said that he dozed off and missed the ending of the Chargers-Raiders game on Sunday night. He said he felt comfortable with the score when the Raiders were up 15 in the fourth quarter. He said he was probably better off not watching it. I don't believe that. I don't believe he went to bed.
I don't either.
I don't believe he dozed off. Come on.
Do I believe that he went to bed? No. Do I believe that he might have turned the game off?
Oh, he said he dozed off. I mean, okay, maybe.
I don't know.
I was probably better off.
I bet he was up pacing.
I was asleep. Does Mike Tomlin look like the kind of was just like, this one's in the bag.
No.
We're in. I'm going to bed.
I'll give you a funny story. I've told it before, but I can't tell it like the source. But remember, Crispy told the great story about his approach when he had to get help from another team. He was coaching the Tampa Bay Lightning, expansion team, had never made the playoffs, and they had enough points to get in, but they needed a loss. I'm trying to think the teams involved. I think it was the Devils that had to lose. And the Devils were playing a terrible Ottawa Senators team. And so Crispy decides he's not watching the game. I'm going to go clean my pool. And so he went out by the pool and started to clean the pool, and because he knew Sheila and the rest of his family would be watching the game intently. You know, they're like, you know, they're leaning on every second of the game. But it was going to be a big upset if the Devils lost because the Senators were so weak. So Crispy says, do not come out and tell me anything. Do not tell me what's going on. And so only at the very end of the game when the Senators won to put the Lightning in. Of course, this is before, you know, social media and cell phones. So I don't know what he did. I don't know if he had a cell phone back then. This was mid-90s. But his family had to come out and say, Dad, we won it. You're in. But that was his thing, is to not watch the game at all. So I would think that's one thing that you could have done if you're Mike Tomlin. But I find it hard to believe that he would have started watching the game and then turned it off or then nodded off. You don't fall asleep.
No.
I'm not buying that story.
A guy 15 years in the league as a head coach, and he's like, oh, this one's in the bag? Come on. With the Chargers and Justin Herbert? Come on. Mike, I think you're a man of integrity. I think you're a really good football coach, but I'm not buying that you're just like, this one's good. We're in.
Yeah, I dozed
off. I can relax now.
There was some tongue-in-cheek there.
Yeah, I was just saying, I don't know the setting. I don't know if he was having fun at somebody's expense, but I'm going to hit the BS button just on the merit of just reading a tweet that's BS.
How many
smirking, he may have been winking, I don't know.
Yeah. How many funny GIFs were there about, hey, Steeler fans right now on Twitter? You know, they were just rolling one after another. There was the guy, you know, from Airplane trying to land the plane at the end of the game, Ted Stryker. You know, there was, you know, any number of examples. They all hit the spot, you know, of how nervous a Steeler fan would have been just trying to watch that. Chris Collinsworth said it. He goes, imagine if you're sitting at home and you're Ben Roethlisberger right now. Your career is either over or, hey, we got a game next week. And you just have no idea until you see how it plays out here.
Well, that's literally how it played out.
Yep.
And I'm just telling you, they can thank Brandon Staley for that because he messed up.
Yes.
I don't buy that.
I don't buy it.
I think you're not fully.
Partially.
I saw you put it out on Twitter, and all the responses you got were, they were absolutely not kicking that field goal.
No, my question was, if they stop the third and four play for no gain, do they try a 57-yard field goal?
No.
Timeout. But see, my scenario is timeout or no timeout. It's third and four. If you get a stop for no gain, everybody in the stadium knows they're running the ball. They're not going to pass it. And they gave up how long was the run that Jacobs had?
Eight, nine yards?
Yep. That made a ton of difference in the field goal length. So my question is, I don't know that they had the guts to try a 57-yarder. So all they had to do was stop the third down play. That's timeout or no timeout. Now, I'm not going to completely say that was the smart move to call timeout. Not at all. I would not have called that timeout. But they weren't going to – the Raiders were not going to kneel on the ball. They still had to stop the third and fourth play. They were going to run the ball, just like they had on first down and second down. They ran the same play. It was the same play to the left side every time.
I know one thing. If I'm the Raiders kicker, I'd go find Al Michaels, because Al Michaels tried his best every time. He's never missed in this stadium.
Yeah, I know. He was jinxing it. He was trying.
I'm like, Al.
It's like, how many times made 39 consecutive free throws? Doink.
Well, how many times was Collinsworth bringing up the conspiracy theory of the tie?
Oh, big time.
I mean, he just kept referencing it constantly.
But he brought it up before the game. He brought it up throughout the game. Yeah,
I know. He never stopped talking about it.
I kind of felt both of them were – they weren't going to flat out say it, but they were kind of hoping it happened just because it would have been so bizarre.
Well, for our group text for Silly Underdogs, I wish it would have happened, because we would have crushed Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Crushed him.
Yes, we would.
Oh, my gosh. That would have been so much fun. Because he's like, it'd have to end in a tie. It's like, well, you don't think the Steelers have a tie already?
I do wonder. Think about how many announcers, or not even just the announcer, but the graphics person or the producer in the TV truck, how often they put up stats just to try to invite the unexpected. Like one of the most famous ones was Ozzie Smith in a league championship series game, 1985, as a left-handed batter. Like, Ozzie Smith, not a power hitter, right? But if he ever hit a home run, it was as a right-handed batter, not a left-handed batter. So they put up this stat, like, Ozzie Smith has not homered as a left-handed batter in I don't know how many at bats, like thousands or whatever it was. And sure enough, the next pitch, he goes deep. And Jack Buck goes, go crazy, folks. Go crazy. Like, I just wonder if the person in the truck was like, let's put this up there. Let's just see what happens if I put this up there. Maybe I can jinx it, or, you know, something like that. Like, so-and-so has never, ever blown a save in this situation.
He will read anything. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about last night's national championship game with Mitch Light from The Athletic. But first, you're going to tell everybody about Lee Company.
Lee Company it is, 615-567-1000. Yep, we're back to kind of your normal January day here in Nashville. Really chilly in the morning, chilly at night. That heater needs to be working for you overnight. And it needs to be working efficiently for you. You don't want those huge heating bills if you can help it. So Lee Company is here to help you, and they're here to help you long-term with the home maintenance plan. Make sure your heating unit, your cooling unit are working efficiently and reliably throughout the entire year, every year. That's the home maintenance plan. You get the annual checkups of those two systems, plus your plumbing, plus your electric. And if you need to get repairs, you get discounts on the repairs if you're part of the home maintenance plan. In exchange for that, you pay a very small monthly fee, $9-$10 a month. That's all it is. So it's very worth it. It's going to save you money over the long term. Call Lee Company and find out about it. 615-567-1000. Lee Company is also a huge sponsor of our Nashville Predators coverage. They play tonight in Smashville, and wow, a marquee matchup. Colorado Avalanche coming into town to take on the Predators. Nashville at the top of the Central Division standings. Colorado not far behind, and they've got the top winning percentage in terms of points. So these are two heavyweights going head-to-head tonight. You're going to want to see it. You're going to want to listen to it. Lee Company will be a big sponsor of it. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.